Well, good morning, everybody. It's an absolute privilege to be here today and to share God's word. I want to thank the church for being the church. You know, the church is dynamic in helping each other. And this week, without precedence, I just know the brothers and sisters that have been all over the city delivering food, praying for people, supporting one another. Isn't that the church? Don't you love the church? You know, if you tell God, you know, I love people, but I hate the church. Well, you don't really love the church, because the church is the people. And you are uniquely made. I thank God that you're all different. My wife is unique. You are unique. And the very DNA that God has placed in your life has made you exceptional in the kingdom of God. Did you know that? You know, the Bible tells us that when you were in your mother's womb, God knew you. Imagine God knowing your full destiny when you were conceived. That's why birth and pregnancy is a special time, because God's involved in all of that. Amen? Uniquely made. Chosen by Heavenly Father for an eternal destiny. That's all of you. I never, ever want you to be despondent in your life and think, who am I? I'm not good enough. I can't do what he does, and et cetera. And so the whole world is in comparison, isn't it? Whether it's physical, body. I mean, you know, we all like a body like Jono's, and you know. But it's just not going to happen. But we all are unique in the sense that we have God's DNA placed in us that makes human beings different to the animal kingdom. We are not animals. We are divinely chosen, divinely conceived, and we have a divine destiny, and that's where God is leading us. So stand up, church. You know, lift your head. Get ready, for the kingdom is coming. Amen? Our God is not dead. He's alive and more active today than ever before. I'm going to share today some things that are about 48 hours old. I've been on the phone, I've been on the texting to all our family around the world. We have over 30 pastors and wives and families around the globe connected with Real Life Church. And so I've got some up-to-date stuff to share with you in my message. Is that okay? I am absolutely grateful. My family have been pretty sick, and I lost my dad just a week ago from COVID. So through all the tragedy and through all the sadness, my sister missed the funeral, got to the airport, and the Australian government changed the visa requirements, and she wasn't able to come. But she arrives this morning. So I'm off to the airport straight after this to give her a big hug. We'll probably cry together. But God is good, isn't he? We have an awesome God. Today, my key scriptures are Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in it. So we're talking about purpose here. You know, God didn't choose you and didn't cause you to be born to be an orphan or to be astray. He's got a divine destiny and plan for your life. And so it's very important to focus back on our purpose in life. And, we know the Great Commission, our purpose in God, Matthew 28:18. Can we put that one up? Go into all the world. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Keep it rolling. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Purpose. You don't have to guess what your purpose is in life. Your purpose is to go and tell people good news. Tell them about the kingdom. Tell them about our Jesus who saves souls. Disciple them. Teach them the word so they in turn can disciple others. What an awesome purpose. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are part of the kingdom. We are in eternal life. Did you know that? The Bible tells us when we're absent from the body, we die, we are present with the Lord. Like that, in an instant, we see Jesus face to face. What an amazing peace and tranquility it brings to your soul. You know, we don't worry as other men worry. We're not anxious about the things in life, the stuff, be it houses or lands or money or finance or food. But our trust is in the Lord, knowing our eternal security is assured. Isn't that good? Isn't that great, Angela? To be able to just walk in confidence through the thick, through the thin, through the struggle, through the pain, through the sadness, through the calamity, through the pestilences, right? Whether there's wars or rumors of war, we fear not, because our God is our rock. Amen. We stand on the rock and we shall not be moved because of who we are. We are the chosen. God called you. You responded. You're chosen. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever proclaims the name of Jesus and is not ashamed of that name, Jesus, your Jesus will acknowledge you before his Father and before all the angels and say, this is my son, this is my daughter. Walk confidently, you know, walk with absolute assurance. There's nothing you cannot do and achieve in this life, because you are not of this world. Doesn't mean you're master of the universe, all right? It doesn't mean that you're a Marvel character. It basically means that you are far greater, the sons and daughters of the living God, with eternity in your souls that no man can take away from you. Not the devils in hell or the circumstances in life cannot take that away from who you are. If you're crying today, shout hallelujah through your tears. If you're coughing and sick today, cough away in glory, knowing that your God is for you, that all things will work together for your good, because he loves you. And he's called you according to his purposes, not our own, his purposes. Is that okay? Think for a moment. I'm taking you to a place that I've been, all the places I'm describing today, I've actually been there several times. But in the last few days, I've spoken to the pastors. Have a listen to this. Sankalaburi, the western part of Thailand on the Burmese border, 6 a.m. in the morning. There's kind of like a mist over the jungle. It's quite elevated. It's quite cool. It's probably the best time of the day. All the cooking pots are on. The rice is steaming from several homes. In the church itself, at the back, there's probably 20 pots of rice cooking away. You can smell it from the road. In 2 hours, the temperature will reach the high 20s and then top 30 degrees with about 90% humidity. 90 minutes, four vehicles with the pastors and his leaders are going to drive through the jungle. And they're going to be traversing dirt roads, jungle roads, that cross the border without passports into Burma. And they stop, and sleeping in the jungle are the refugees that have fled the Burmese army in the last week. Perhaps 100, perhaps 200, left everything behind, their villages decimated, destroyed by mortar and bomb. They can't go back. The army plant landmines in the villages so they can't return. If they do return, they blow their legs off. And the church is there in the morning and giving out the rice and the fish and the frogs, whatever they cooked, and they're sharing their meals with the people they've never met before. Some from the city of Yangon, some from outlying areas, all fleeing to the borderline for safety. This is current right now. In three different locations on the Burmese border, the church is actively working now, today, listening, caring, feeding, assisting with medical help. At 10 a.m. devotions, all the heavily armed militia from the various, there's about 12 different heavily armed militias who protect their local people, will come and Pastor Boji will pray for them. And have Bible study devotions with all the soldiers. because they go to fight, they go to protect, they could lose their life today. Do you know, 2 years ago, this pastor had an opportunity to win the general to Christ, giving him an open door to minister to all the soldiers. Some are Muslim, some are Buddhists, and some are traditional Christians. He's become their chaplain. I had the privilege of taking a team twice now into those jungles and teaching the soldiers all their first aid and all their tourniquets and all those things. And we have this opportunity where incredible diversity. Now, all of them have got COVID. So through their coughing and their sneezing and many of them have died, they are sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and seeing incredible baptism. I've got photos and photos almost every day. They're baptizing people in the river. They're baptizing them in the water troughs as they show faith in Christ Jesus. A tremendous example and encouragement for me. You know, in the church, more than 60 have had COVID. Many of them recovering and are back at work and they're back at school, and all the high schoolers that we met, so many teenagers finished their high school. Most of them have no idea what their future holds. They have no money. And because they are Burmese, Thai residents, they don't have the money to go to university. And unless they're sponsored, unless the government gives them some kind of assistance there. But jobs are few and positions are scarce. You know, a lot of the people up there, they opt for the easy option, prostitution, by the truckloads into Thailand because it's a guaranteed income. But as we know, brothers and sisters, it's a trade guaranteed also that you sell your body and your life into slavery. This is a reality. This is a typical day. My question is, you know, how do we separate God's vision from our vision? We face temptation, you know, for us in the Western church to follow our dreams and, you know, we call it a vision, right? And we share with each other, I want to do this, I'm going to do that and do the other. And then we ask God to bless, right? We kind of, that's our dream. I want to get that house. I want to get this. I want to be that. I want to go there. And so we speak it out. Nothing wrong with that. Normal and natural. And then we kind of pray, God bless this. Today I want to just challenge your thinking a little bit. God's vision to me should be like the heartbeat that pumps through everything we do. It doesn't have to be a special quest or a special assignment. It just has to be whatever God has made you to be right now, wherever you are right now, whatever you are doing, God's vision can so inspire you. If you knew what the Holy Spirit's heartbeat was and adopted it to your own heart, that vision should be pumping through you every single day. And you wake up in the morning and say, yes, God, what are we going to do together today? It's an adventure with God every single day. Nothing is mundane. Nothing is routine anymore. Nothing is ordinary anymore. But we should be living extraordinary spiritual lives empowered by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that brings that heart to your vision. He's the one that can marry purpose with vision. Is that okay? Let's go across the world. Eastern Europe right now, minus 20 degrees, snow. Carpathian Mountains, Transylvanian Alps. Down in the south of Romania, the Danube River flows past a little city called Turnu Severin. Turnu Severin, this particular city, was the launching pad for the Roman Empire to conquer the barbarians, the Dacia barbarians back 2,000 years ago. The Dacia nation, you know, were a combination of the Thracians and the Greeks and the barbarians and the Germanics, all living in that area. And today you can go to that actual bridge. The foundations are actually still there, but there's a history in this land. In Romania, yesterday was minus 15 degrees and two elderly villagers perished from the cold overnight in their houses. In shelter, they died of the cold. The church, unable to visit due to heavy snow and their car breaking down, because what the church does is chop the firewood and go into the villages and try to save the elderly and the poor and the widows. Every winter, they chop the wood, bring food parcels on a daily basis to look after these communities. The church in Tervuren has been supporting and donating to gypsy villages, about six of them over the many, many decades that I've known them. Thousands of children, literally women, mothers and men. They assist them with education, their vocational studies, and they've seen the utter transformation of entire villages from paganism and witchcraft into wonderful, caring communities. In the church, you'll see such a massive collection of people from all races. And in Romania, to have gypsies in your church and to have them as part of your family is an incredible thing in Europe. Wonderful people. Today, there are many of them with COVID, still doing God's work. Many of the young professionals in the church there have forsaken the lure, the vision of going to, you know, to Western Europe and getting a job where they pay them in incredible euros, and they can change their life forever financially. And many of the church young people with their professions have decided to stay in Romania to build a church, to live in an economy which is depressed and politically, you know, unstable, and stay there because their vision and their heart is to win the lost in their community, and that's become their purpose and their vision. And they are not disappointed, and they are not saying, oh, if only. No, they are full of joy and full of inspiration and full of courage and doing amazing things for God. Because all of a sudden, they've captured the heart of God and applied their resources and their intelligence and their education to serve their land. I hope you can appreciate that. Do you know half the country's young people have left for better days? It stripped the country of incredible wealth and infrastructure. But my brothers and sisters, I'm so incredibly inspired and impressed with these teams that come out of the Church of Tervuren to see their heart. They've captured the purposes of God, and their vision is aligned to seeing. And they are seeing many, many, many people come to Jesus, which is the purpose of God. Amen? So what's the difference between vision and purpose? Have you ever thought about this? You know, we talked about the purpose. Go. You know, preach, teach, disciple. Kingdom is coming. That's the purpose of the church, our purpose. But vision builds on your purpose. Purpose clarifies why you exist, and vision motivates you. You know, when you dream the dream, when you catch a glimpse of the potential, when your blood is energized because you have an idea and you want to birth that idea, and so you get into business or you do this or you do that. Does everyone understand what I'm talking about here? It's the chemistry that gets you motivated to go and do something. That vision, and the Bible says the church without vision is what? Dead. It's one thing to have purpose, one thing to know the purpose, that's your foundation. But my goodness, these days especially, we need to tap into the heart of God and get the vision birthed in us so that it become our heartbeat, our lifeblood, to motivate us to do the work, to actually do it. Do you know, you think that a businessman who's successful has just suddenly become successful overnight? It doesn't happen. It's years and years and years of purpose, you know, training, dedication, but it's the drive that he needs to complete the journey. How many know many businesses fail, right? 90% in 5 years. That's the statistics. It's the vision that'll keep you going till you make it, till the end game. And God wants us to endure till the end. Those who endure till the end, the Bible says, shall be saved. It's not how you start the race, it's how you finish the race. Am I right? I'm going to get that 1 point in the squash game. I can see it. I'm envisioning. This is it's a private joke, that one. Motivation. That's all you need. Okay. Are we ready? Purpose is the reason you live, but vision is the song you sing. Do you like that one? Purpose gives meaning, but vision prompts you to do something. Purpose uses your words to capture God's purpose for all disciples, but your vision is unique to you. So every one of you, God has a unique, incredible vision for you alone that's nobody else's. Do you wonder why you're different to somebody else? Because God made you that way, and God appreciates you that way, and God wants you that way, and God doesn't want you to become somebody else. You need to be you. But God's going to help you to energize you, to educate you, to train you, to fulfill your vision in this life. It brings incredible peace of heart, takes away the anxiety, takes away the guessing game. And you can focus everything that you do. See, God doesn't want to take away from you your gifts and your skills. He doesn't want to take your business from you. He doesn't want to take your dancing skills from you, Laura. He doesn't want to take this from you. You are uniquely made. Whatever your gifts, whatever your talents, whatever your interests, whatever you really, really love to do, that is what God gave you to hone, to develop, to be part of your vision. Is that okay? God's not a robber. God will add to your life more and more and more. Purpose anchors you. But my goodness, vision evokes your imagination. And you can think outside the box. You can dream dreams nobody else is dreaming. They'll say, you're crazy, Mauricio, for dreaming that. That's not possible for them. But it's possible for you because you're dreaming the dream. And when it's God energized, nothing is impossible. Amen? If you told me 40 years ago, I'd be doing what I'm doing, I'd tell you you're crazy. But vision, I thank God for vision because I've seen incredible things happen with no money and no talent. And yet God provides all that we need on the journey of your vision. So where you are now, it's not that important. It's where you're going to be. God will enable you with the Holy Spirit to take your purpose and your personal visions and develop that until you fulfill it. You will fulfill your destiny if you're walking with Jesus. Without Jesus, it's impossible to do anything. It's impossible to do anything without Jesus. He is the way. That's what it means. He's going to take you on the journey, highs and the lows, through the valley, through the forest, through the dangers, through the disappointments, through the mountaintops. You need to get with him on the way. He's the way maker. Yeah? Is that okay? Purpose anchors you, but vision releases your imagination. When you go to the Philippines, the island of love is called Iloilo. The church has been supporting hundreds of children over the last 30 years in sponsorship. We sponsor children from birth to graduation. This church has been unique in supporting them for such a long time so they can get a qualification and get a job. Amazing! Wonderful type of sponsorship. In this city, right now, 2 days ago, 100 new school backpacks awaited all the children from the local slum area to prepare for the new year, sponsored by the church. Pastor Reuben, his wife and family have breakfast ready. The church is positioned right in the center of the slum. And the children from the families, from single parents, they will come along early morning to have breakfast prepared by Pastor Reuben and his family before they head off to whatever school they're in. This ghetto community has seen hundreds and hundreds of children and their families help. And they've all had COVID. But God has enabled them right through everything to keep supporting, loving, caring. When you go down south to Mindanao, the Philippines, in Davao City, this morning, the chaplain pastors, there's about six of them, part of Real Life, are all chaplains. They will bring supplies to the families of the prisoners. Because their dad's not working anymore. Mom's got, you know, six, seven kids. So they bring the food families there. And at 10 a.m., the director of the prison will call all the prison guards, and then they'll do devotions with all of them and pray for all of them until the youth basketball outreach will take place later. Over in Masbate, near the island of Cebu, just across the water, Pastor Sharon in Masbate, she prepares this morning her daily dental clinic for the influx of people coming in her community. Now, she's a pastor of a church and she's a dentist, runs a clinic. Over the half of the community can't afford dental work, and yet she's there every day. She doesn't turn anyone back. She supports and supplies and assists all of them, particularly children, for free. She's a single mother. She's got two daughters of her own. You know, when she gets home from the dental practice, she has to prepare a meal. And there's about 12 people waiting outside to have their first meal for the day with her and her two young teenagers. So she does all of that with COVID. Brothers and sisters, I want you to see the vision and the heart of the people of God. I love the church. I love God's people because they are motivated and they're excited about the kingdom business because they're about touching people's lives. It is their heartbeat. It's their DNA. It's the blood that flows through their veins. They're here for one purpose: to teach about Jesus, but to actually help people and elevate them from their status and provide them education, provide them health care, find a way where they can find their own gift and vision for their lives and release them into the community, into the world. I'm going to tell you, all of these people are now traveling with us to other Asian countries to bless other nations and culture when they're the ones in need, and yet they are prepared to go. They go sometimes, you know, they come with us on our treks on mission and they have like $10 in their pocket and they've got their airfare and they've come by faith, just trusting they're going to eat through the whole next 2 weeks of serving other nations. I mean, it's astounding, inspiring. And yet we have so much, and so many God's people have so much purpose and resources, but no vision. And yet God has given that vision to our church. Real Life Church is a mission church. The vision of the house is mission globally. We have all our pathways already. We've been through the jungles and cut the pathways for many of you to come, to be involved, to meet them, to be involved with them in whatever gift God has given you, to tap into the vision that's already there to enhance the communities around the world so that they can become the people of God that God's called them to be. We are kind of like the aircraft carrier. Are you with me? We bring in the resources to our neighbors, the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You're chosen. When you go up north from the Philippines, there's a young lady that's probably been on about 6 mission trips with us. She's a single lady. She would be about 20, 21 years of age, brought up with no father. She lives with an elderly mum and looks after her sisters and brother. Now, she recently had enough money sent from real life to buy a bicycle. Instead of walking for an hour every day, she now cycles. And what she does is every day she meets with groups of children, some who live in cemeteries as their home. They live in the mausoleums of the dead. And she teaches them, because there's no school there. All day she works for other organizations and volunteers her time to teach children. She's passionate about children. She teaches, she ministers, she shares. She's part of a church team. She's done training. She's done her studies as a preacher in children's ministry. She's dedicated to bringing the gospel to children right across her area of life. Every day with no regular income. And she's been to Thailand, Burma, Cambodia, teaching and training. Vision, purpose, matched together. God is using her powerfully. Do you know the heroes we're going to see one day in heaven? It's not going to be the big wheelers with the big churches. I don't believe that. It's not going to be the superstars of what we see on TV. It's going to be these people who, through sickness, through death, through health, having nothing, cast their cares upon Jesus and are willing to walk the road of the way and caught a hold of the vision that Jesus had for people and have stepped off the cliff by faith and said, I don't know how, where, or what, but I'm going and I'm ready. Use me, God. And they have gone and doing incredible things. How do you see vision? I believe it takes time, doesn't it? You need to just take some time to reflect and process what this is all about. And it also takes faith to embrace it, because you've got to step out beyond your comfort zone, out of your circumstances, out of your secure place, out of the area where you think is your dream, and say, God, is that really where you want me to be? What if God challenges you and says, actually, I have another way for you. Are you willing? Wow, that'll test your relationship, won't it? Are you willing? Is he master? Is he Lord? Or is he Lord? Or is he Lord of all? Or is he Lord of small? It's a reflection question. All of us, myself included, every day, we have to ask ourselves that question. How do we see the vision? We need time. We need to reflect. We need to have faith. And I believe you need to look back a little bit, because I think it grows from our past. Where have you come from? What's your background? I think you'll find some clues there. That's why you're unique. You're from there because that's where God wants you to be from. And God's taking you through that journey to build the stuff in you for the vision of the future. Does it make sense? So whether it's been a hard road, a good road, a difficult road, it doesn't matter. Look back and you will see the markings that make you unique. And that's what God wants to tap into in your life and prepare you for the future. Let your life speak. How do you know someone something? You just watch them. You know who the ones are that are dancers, because they just dance. They can't help dancing. That's in their blood. In music, they'll be dancing. They just have to express themselves in dance. Have you met people like that? They're creatives. They have to do that. That's them. They have to sing. My goodness. You have to do what's in you to do to do. Yeah? Look at your, listen to your past life. Listen to what God is saying to you through the Holy Spirit and ask Him to help you to see and understand who you are. Learn from your past, envision your future, and live your vision now. This is probably my last point today. Live, you have to, if you want to be effective in your life, you actually have to. Your vision's not mañana. It's not, you know, tomorrow. No, it's not in 10 years when you retire. It's not when you have enough money. It's not when you trained. It's not when you have resources. No! Vision starts today. You have to do your vision today. You know, when you have the seed, small as a mustard seed, that's all that Jesus requires from you. God specializes in the things that are unwanted, discarded, disrespected, left on the shelf, ignored, unpopular. God loves us when we have to be dependent on Him completely. The secret of power is emptiness. The world will tell you, you need resourcing, you need training, you need this. God says, I need your empty hands and a broken heart and a humble spirit. It's the opposite. Why? Because He wants to show you supernatural power into your life so that you can do more in 5 years than what you could in your natural life have done in 50. That's how it works. The people and circumstances that have shaped your life in ministry, who do you admire? The people, your qualities, I can go on and on. You can. John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. So let's get this straight. He knew you when you were in your mother's womb. And no matter where you are in your life right now, God chose you. You didn't actually choose Him. He allowed you to choose Him and gave you the circumstances to choose Him by His grace and by His mercy and by His love. And you know what? And He appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain. And whatever you ask in that relationship, God will give it to you. That's how vision works. You can have all the worldly motivational speeches and training, and you can follow all the world's leaders and gurus. But there's no one like Jesus who knows your heart and soul. And He's the one that can guide you in the way for eternity. Can I share a couple more stories? Very quickly, Pastor Mana. He's a Thai pastor in the southern part of Thailand in a place called Surathani. In his village, he has 12 houses. Each house contains 10 to 12 orphan Thai children. Most of their parents died of AIDS or they were killed. Or they were imprisoned. And each family are Christian mum and dad that have adopted all those children as their own forever. And they have their own children as well. Can you just picture that? 12 houses, each house with 12 kids, plus their own for life. And they're all from the local community. Pastor Mana's responsibility to coordinate all the financing, the food, the education, the coordination, the international sponsorship for the children. Every single day, he's working with the community, the Thai community, to reach the lost and the broken. 99% Buddhists where he lives. We've been working with him for probably 15, almost 20 years now.
What a great
adversity, danger, persecution, risk, lack. They face it every single day. They wanted to close them down so many times. Politically, physically. COVID is rife in the community. Every day this morning, serving God in church, preaching this morning, serving his community. How do you implement it? Be obedient to what God's talking to you about today. Trust God to show you the way. Brothers and sisters, Deuteronomy says, you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. You are so special to God. You're a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, God calls us. So can we stand today in your lounge rooms? This is my last exhortation to you. I'm here this morning just to stir you a little bit. Is that okay? Don't faint under present circumstances. When you watch the news, don't let it overcome you with fear. Know that all these things are happening and must happen in the world. Wars, rumors of wars, sickness, disease, struggle. These are a normal part of who we are. Be prepared. Set your face. Take a risk. Make an investment of your life and time. Don't look back. Never stop. Go. He's got your back. Rest in Jesus. Trust Jesus to fulfill everything in your life. Praise him. Honor him. Love him. He won't disappoint you. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for all the wonderful men and women of God that you have chosen and all these ones who are watching online today or in the congregation this morning. Father, you chose them to do extraordinary great things for you. Holy Spirit, empower them. Give them vision on top of their purpose and help them to put it into action every day for your glory. Amen. God bless you, church.